with the First Lady this week. Of course, we, amid much fanfare, we were also visited by the US President Donald Trump. While yesterday, rather more sedately, UK Prime Minister Theresa May exited stage left. So the two world leaders, two very distinct personalities, I think we would say. One, a kind of extreme extrovert, and the other, probably slightly more introverted, thoughtful kind of person. With me now to discuss their differences and also to zone in on what lies behind people's shyness is Dr. Fiona Weldon, who's a consultant clinical and forensic psychologist. Fiona, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Donald Trump, a kind of extreme extrovert in a way?
Well, I mean, from what we can see in the media of him, certainly his behaviours would fit, you know, somebody who's an extrovert. So with extroversion, you know, it's really defined by people who are very comfortable with public speaking, who are kind of obviously confident in social situations. They tend to be seen as kind of open, accessible people. Whether he is or not, I don't know. But, you know, these are, I suppose, constructs that are on a continuum. So there's not just, you know, the presence or absence of extroversion or introversion. You know?
Yeah, and Theresa May probably down the continuum a bit, in the sense that she's clearly no wallflower. But if you talk about an extrovert being an open person, Theresa May possibly a more closed person and a more inward-looking person, I suppose.
Well, as you say there, she's certainly not a wallflower, you know, so I think a lot of people might kind of look at the stereotype of introversion and see somebody who might be very slow to speak. You know, characteristically, introverts are much more calm and thoughtful. They prefer the solitariness of their own company. They like to reflect. They tend to be very careful about their decision making. They don't tend to be as impulsive as extroverts can be. So, you know, but I suppose that's not to be mixed up with the idea that introverts don't have opinions or don't have strong opinions or sometimes they can be very stubborn or, you know. So there are other personality traits that aren't necessarily exclusive to extroverts.
Yes, yeah. And now again, shyness is not to be confused with introversion either, but it tends to kind of it can co-occur, I suppose.
It can, yeah.
So what is behind shyness psychologically?
So shyness is something that many of us feel, no matter where we are on the spectrum of introversion or extroversion, but introverts tend to experience shyness much more than extroverts will. And shyness is that sense of feeling maybe self-conscious in social situations and groups of people, maybe public speaking or, you know, speaking out in class or in college, doing things like that would be very difficult for a shy person. Very often shy people can also expect negative evaluations of themselves, either from other people or from themselves. So that can, I suppose, that can make the shyness worse. So again, shyness is on a spectrum of how much of a difficulty it is for somebody. You know, for many of us, we might feel a little nervous meeting new people initially, and then, you know, within half an hour, 40 minutes of chatting, we might feel more comfortable, and so we don't tend to avoid situations.
Okay.
Whereas for somebody who has a very significant level of shyness, it can become problematic for them. Because
and it's kind of self-feeding in a way, because the shyness makes them avoid situations and dwell on it, and then that makes it worse, yes?
Yeah. So for somebody who has a very high concentration of shyness, their anxiety can be quite high in these situations. So they might begin to experience physical symptoms of anxiety, like, you know, blushing, which they'd be very self-conscious about, or maybe talking too fast, or maybe compensating in other ways with their behaviour, maybe becoming too loud, or, you know, saying the wrong thing because they're nervous, or, you know, they can experience panic attack symptoms, like breathing very, very fast, and this really discomfort, maybe heart palpitations, feeling like they're going to faint or have a heart attack or something like that. So it's a very uncomfortable experience, and the natural instinct is to just get away, to avoid and maybe not return to situations like that. And anxiety kind of tends to generalize itself to other situations. So people can kind of experience one occurrence of that and then be really slow to want to go into anywhere that's very similar.
And they tell themselves that story about all situations.
Look what happened the last time. I couldn't stand it. I can't cope with this and I'm better off to stay home.
Now, in terms of kids, I often think we do this thing a lot with kids. Like if a child doesn't speak to some adult they don't know on demand, or if they go behind their mother's skirts or whatever, oh, shy, she's shy or he's shy or whatever. And And there is a lot of pressure on kids not to be shy, isn't there? Mm. So talk to me a bit about shyness in kids. What's real shyness in kids?
You know, it's really, this is what's interesting to me about this whole, I suppose, this whole discussion. You know, we do have an expectation, the environment has an expectation on children, particularly to, you know, to socialise, to be social, to the extent that it doesn't necessarily always suit children who are introverted. So, for example, school situations can be, the environment there can be set up to expect children to work in groups very frequently, to engage in very often shared play or shared work exercises, to, you know, have a high, I suppose, high motivation to be externally driven. And for introverts, they're not. Their motivation is really around reflection and introverted thought and things like that. So it's kind of, they're getting negative feedback about their natural state from a very early age, which can mm-hmm. feed into the anxiety that some people who are introverts can then experience.
So what should we do to help a child who may seem introverted / shy? How do you nurture them?
It's just really important to be aware that balance is really important. So for a child who's more introverted, it needs to be recognised that they might need to go off and have some time to themselves, that it's okay for them to need time to go away and think and reflect or play imaginatively by themselves with a concept or an idea. Like, introverts are much more interested in concepts and ideas, so they tend to be more creative than mm-hmm. extroverts. And, you know, what we know from I suppose from group psychology or group think is, you know, extroverts can certainly be more dominant personalities. We as human beings tend to mimic the behaviours, the thoughts, the ideas of extroverts. So it can kind of stifle creativity
so
in some ways.
So the loudest voice in the room, basically.
Exactly.
Goes along
exactly.
With that.
So yeah. Creativity and ideas, whether it's technology or music or arts or sciences, we really need the voice of the introvert that isn't so influenced by.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you saying about kids is that we, you know, leave them be with it a little bit, not all that pressure. Can I ask you finally about, there are adults out there who are still struggling with, you know, we associate it with kids, but there are a lot of adults still struggling with shyness. What can they do about it?
So, I mean, one of the things I would say to people who are introverts and very self-conscious about it, start with maybe modifying some aspects of your own behaviour and almost use it as a little experiment. So things like, if you imagine what other people see when they look at an extrovert, they might attribute negative labels to that, like, oh, this person doesn't want to talk to me, they're disengaged, they're snobby, they aren't interested. So if you think about that and maybe focus on what does this look like to other people, and maybe try modifying your eye gaze a little. So hold eye contact a little longer than you normally would, just as an initial start. Nod your head in conversation so that it looks like you're listening. Very often people who are very shy are extremely self-conscious and they just freeze. So they stop moving their bodies at all in response to conversation. So that can look like they're disengaging, disinterested, stuff like that. So starting in simple ways, just by modifying physically what you're doing, and I suppose getting support with the thoughts that are in your head around what, you know, what other people are judging about you or how you're judging yourself. That's a really important aspect to it as well.
Yeah, okay. And ultimately, CBT is recommended.
Cognitive behavioural therapy can help. Mindfulness can help become aware of how to respond to, you know, to the internal thoughts that you're thinking, the internal judgments that are coming into your mind. So that can be helpful too.
Which is essentially true. I guess it's about trying not to engage with all that turmoil that's going on inside you when you're in a situation.
It's learning to be more skillful and more learning to be accept that this is your natural state and it's okay and it has its huge positives.
Yeah.
We need those traits. But at the same time, you might need some support to balance them.
Okay, so fake it till you make it is one element
it's
of it.
It's important to do that, yes.
Listen, I'd love to talk to you more about it. Maybe we will again. Thank you very much, Fiona Weldon, and we'll take a break.